Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to speak to an interesting man now who's going to tell you about art, because I couldn't imagine the world without art. Let's say hello to Michael Birchall. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Pete. Nice to meet you today.
Public practice curator. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah, that's exactly what I do at Tate. So I basically curate a range of activities that are around the exhibition. So that might include performances, screenings, events, and more long-term projects. So all of the fun stuff that's not in a conventional exhibition is really what I do.
You weren't there when I did. How long have you been there?
I've only been here since January.
Oh, so right. Almost you weren't there.
Half a year, yeah.
Well, I tell you what happened, which was marvellous. We went to an exhibition and somebody had this idea of asking people in the city what they thought of the piece of art. And then they wrote next to the piece of art what they thought of it, you see. So they asked me about this piece of art and they went, I can't even remember the piece of art. And they went, what do you think of that? And I went, I don't like it, but I love that over there. And they had a big thumb mark pointing to the piece I loved, which I thought was great. Now, you would have done something like that, wouldn't you? That would be under your guise.
Yeah, that would have been one of the things I would be interested in doing. And it's certainly what we'll be doing in the future here and what Tate Liverpool's always done as an institution. It's always worked with audiences in different ways. And I would say it sets standards which Tate in London have certainly copied and worked on in different ways.
I don't think people realise how important Tate in Liverpool is, do they?
I think it's 30 years old in 2018, and certainly that's a time to remember all the significant exhibitions that have happened here and how lucky Liverpool is to have a Tate, because, you know, we have the National Collection on show here for everybody to enjoy, and, you know, two out of three floors here are completely free, so it's a great opportunity to come and look at some of the nation's collection.
Now, you wanted to come on today to talk about Francis Bacon. Tell me all about it.
Well, we are currently showing Francis Bacon, which is a major retrospective of his work. We're looking at major works from his career, including 29 paintings, and this includes all of the typical Francis Bacon works that you might see, such as the Popes and the self-portrait work. So I think he's a really important artist for the 20th century, and it's a real privilege that we're able to show his work here, because I think his paintings really tell an interesting story about the post-war period and also the time that he grew up in. And as you may know, he was born in Ireland, but then he spent most of his life in London, where he was living in Soho and lived until the early 90s there in London.
Of course, he'd have to come from Ireland because he was a gay man, so his life would have been miserable, I should imagine, in Ireland.
Well, actually, interestingly, in 1926, his father sent him with a friend of the family to Berlin to kind of take the homosexuality out of him. There was Christopher Usherwood was around at that time. You know, he wrote Cabaret and, of course, the movie with Liza Minnelli in it, which is set in Berlin during this period. So he had a great time when he was over there. So
He made sure he really found out he was gay. And I can't believe I've just written Cabaret down as you said the word.
No way.
Yeah, I just wrote it down because it showed the most outrageous side of Berlin. I went to Berlin before the wall came down because I'm a lot older than you, and I was working over there for the forces as an entertainer. And I went there and I was blown away with what I saw and what I experienced. It was mind-blowing.
It's an amazing place. I myself lived in Berlin for 7 years, so I know firsthand all of the wonderful things Berlin has to offer.
So tell me how you got into this amazing job, because it's got to be a dream job, hasn't it? If you love art, it's got to be a dream job.
Yeah, well, actually, I really fell into studying art by accident. I started studying history in Newcastle, and then I started studying art history, and then I just started to get an interest in art, really. And then I was fortunate to work abroad in various places, in Canada, in Germany. And then this job came up here. And actually, I am a native Scouser, so this is a bit of a homecoming, really, for me. And it's a great opportunity to come and work in such a great institution. And I, you know, part of my role is to share that passion with a variety of audiences and to really encourage people to get involved with art. And, you know, as society changes, as we face all kinds of problems with austerity and politics and whatever, you know, art is one of those places, or one of the few places that remains, where you can still engage with something that's not about your everyday life, or perhaps it is. So I guess that always interests me, really, and that's how I've always had an interest in visual arts and also the other arts as well. And was very fortunate to get this job at Tate. So that's how it happened, really.
It's interesting you've come back to a fabulous city, because it's buzzing now. To what it used to be years ago, we're now on the biggest roll ever.
Well, I would say that Liverpool has always been a great place. I just think it perhaps had a problem with marketing itself. And obviously, we know that we've got such an immense sense of pride. But now I'd say that the world really knows that Liverpool has such a great deal of entertainment and art from all around the world. And it is a wonderful place to live. I mean, I would even say perhaps we have too many institutions here who are trying to do too many things. Because if you look at Manchester, which only has a couple of institutions, we're in a really privileged position.
Interesting now, because art's moved in different directions as you're growing up, certainly as I'm growing up, where photographs, you could pay £1 million for a photograph these days. It's gone into an art form.
Mm.
It's huge, isn't it? Which is the question I was going to ask you, and I ask everybody that I talk about art. And we're talking about the Francis Bacon invisible rooms down at the Tate. I still never get a proper answer to this, which is a difficult question, is the value of art. I don't understand it, how something can be that and worth millions. And nobody can ever answer me the question. So I'm going to put it to you as well.
What a lovely question. I think the value of art is really dependent on the time in which art is produced. So if you think of buying an antique, let's say you buy an antique table for your living room or your lounge or whatever, which comes from the 19th century, and let's say it's made out of a really expensive kind of wood, there's a certain appreciation that comes with the value of this table, and certainly artworks gain value over periods of time. And it's really about the originality of the work. It's really art is really about the artist's intention, and also how one artist can just produce one work. And I think this is why people struggle with the value, because a lot of people might ask, well, I can do that myself. And of course, the very nature of the value of art in terms of the last 20 years goes up and down considerably. And certainly in the UK now, which is one of the biggest art markets in the world, this has really become part of the life of museums and also for certain collectors. And what I always say back to this question is, how many works of art do you have in your house which you've bought, which are copies of other works? And most people have a couple of copies of, I don't know, like an Edward Manet painting on their fridge as a postcard, or they might have something in their living room which they bought, which is from, I don't know, the Walker Arts Institution here. And, you know, also I think when you buy a copy of a work, you're also adding to that value of the original at the same time. So it's a crazy industry, really, but it's not unlike other industries such as antiques and jewellery and other precious goods, I would say.
Good answer, Michael. I'll leave you with that one. That was a good one. I like that. What will people expect to see when they come down to the Tate to see Francis Bacon?
They will see a major overview of his career. They will see a series of paintings which he done during the start of his career and towards the end. So this includes the two study for a portrait, which is various portraits which he made of his friends and of his circle in Soho, and also his crucifixion series, which a lot of people might be familiar with as well. I mean, although he was an atheist, he did have an interest in religion, and obviously perhaps growing up in Ireland had something to do with this as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will really get an overall sense of such an interesting artist within the early 20th century, and one that perhaps isn't shown enough of, I would say. A lot of people seem to know him, and he is a household name, but this exhibition really gives you the opportunity to traverse and to encounter various parts of his career. So I think it's a great opportunity to come and see it here in Liverpool. And I should say, at the same time, in the adjacent gallery, we're also showing Maria Lasnik. And she was an Austrian painter, a woman, and perhaps has less of a prominence, but of equal value. And I think that's a fantastic exhibition. And we're very, very lucky to have this show here. And that show is also going on to tour around Europe once it closes here.
Michael, I don't like labels, but I'll use a label now. Working class. Do working class people understand or appreciate or come in to the Tate?
Well, I mean, you can use the term working class. I think in the UK we use this term quite freely. I think our visitors here come from a variety of social, economic backgrounds, and I very much love to engage in conversations with people. I'll just tell you a quick story. The other week, I was taking a taxi in town, and the taxi driver said, what do you do? And, you know, I said, I work at Tate. And then he immediately said, I know nothing about art. And then he launched into a long conversation about a series of paintings he has at home, which belong to his aunt, which are worth, I don't know, hundreds of pounds, and how he tried to have these exhibited in the Walker Art Institution here. So he started off by saying he had no interest in art, and then immediately told me in the most incredible detail about these paintings that he had. So I think this really shows, this is just one instance, but everybody has an interest in art and everybody has an opinion, and especially here people aren't afraid to comment on works of art. So I think art's really for everybody.
So to finish off, do you want to tease us with a couple of little ideas you've got lined up for after Francis Bacon?
Yes, well, actually after Francis Bacon here, we're actually going to show Tracy Emin's Bed, which you might remember.
Right.
That's going to come back up to Liverpool, and we're going to show this with a series of new works that she's currently making. So we're really excited about that, to have that here. And you might not know this, but there's also a Tracy Emin work of art at Liverpool Anglican Cathedral.
Oh, I do, the bird?
Yeah.
Well, it got nicked, didn't it?
Well, the bird got nicked, but there's a neon left.
Right.
So... there's a bit of neon left. So we'll try and do a link up with the cathedral. They're very interested to have Tracy back. So that's going to be a fantastic exhibition in the autumn, and there's more interesting shows to come after that. In terms of my program, I'm doing a range of things. I'll be doing a lot more film screening. So I'm really interested in showing artist film to people that don't perhaps look at artist film. And also more kind of inclusive, participatory art projects that include people in the art-making process. I think this is one of the things that we're really championing here at the moment. So I hope you can come on down at some point and have a look as well.
Michael Birchall from Tate, talking about Francis Bacon in Visible Rooms. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you so much.